welcome to CrozierCast. This is the podcast with your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Suzanne, how are you doing?
Good, good. So it's been a few, little over a month or so, I think, since we, the two of us, sat down to record.
But sure, I think it was last we had a little one in between, and that was with one of our seminarians for our diocese, and that was kind of exciting because we did that podcast in the Eternal City. We did that in Rome. Where Mitchell's studying for the seminary.
Yeah, very good. So I think that went well. You know, the audio turned out really well, which is nice. And then you are also able to sit down with Archbishop Coakley from Oklahoma City. So that was good.
I was. We were able to talk about the upcoming beatification of Father Stanley Rother. So he'll be the first beatified priest and martyr for the United States, which is exciting news. So hopefully that will come out when that's going to take place.
So I think today we wanted to talk a little bit about, I don't know if there's a specific word for it, but I guess maybe the term would be faithful citizenship, a little bit, kind of a follow-up. Our first episode, I think, was about the stressful times leading up to an election, and I think sadly we see that sometimes people you know, around us, or we hear about people being very stressed if they read the news or talk to their coworkers or anything like that. Everyone kind of lives in this perpetual state of worry or stress a little bit. So I think we wanted to address what to do after an election or as the, you know, in the regular times of the country.
Sure. Yeah, I think there is a sense of fear out there. And unfortunately, I think there are some people or groups are feeding that fear, and that's kind of their goal. And that's unfortunate because you think about, you know, what our country is built upon. It's built upon freedom and being able to express yourself, and I think in a good and a positive way. Doesn't mean we don't point out things that aren't negative or things that could be harmful, but it does. We point out, we express ourselves, we use our right to express ourselves in a good and a constructive manner. And unfortunately, it seems like we're in a little bit of a difficult time right now, a bit of a quandary. You did mention about the faithful citizenship, which we did speak about before the election. And I think the document that comes from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, I think it's a document to be read and studied, not simply before an election, but it's something to be read and studied and pondered and really put into action in one's life and in the life of a community, in the life of our country, because it really does work to form the conscience. And so the individual person is acting and speaking, having had their conscience properly formed by objective truths, by eternal truths, the truths of our faith. And so I think sometimes we can take the approach where, okay, we got to the election, it's over, let's put this away for, you know, the mid-election in 2 years, but then let's put this away until 4 years come along with our presidential election. But those are something we should go back to all the time.
Maybe we could break it down to sort of a more local level, because I don't know how many people know this, but so there's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, but then we have state conferences, and so since our diocese is in two states, you are a member of both the Arizona Catholic Conference and the New Mexico Conference of Catholic Bishops. So how does that work?
It gives you double work, is what it does, but it's good. So we have, in each state, we have a director for the New Mexico Catholic Conference, Conference of Bishops, and then in Arizona, we have a director for the Arizona Catholic Conference. The names are a little different. They function the same way. The legislative sessions are very different, though. In New Mexico, the legislative sessions in 1 year, there'll be 30 days, and that primarily deals with the budget. Mm. And then the other year, so they alternate, will be 60 days. And so that's when we have an opportunity to put forth legislation that we hope will make us a better state, will benefit our state, especially the poorest of the poor. And really, we're always concerned first and foremost on life, because as Pope Francis says, that's our greatest resource is the gift of human life. In Arizona, it's a longer session. It's, you know, it can go on for months, and so it operates a little differently. But in Arizona, we have Mr. Ron Johnson, who's the director for the Arizona Catholic Conference, and then in New Mexico, we have Mr. Alan Sanchez, who's the director of the New Mexico Conference of Bishops, and both of them do excellent work, and they are the advocates for the bishops in each of the states. And because I am in half in Arizona, half in New Mexico, I participate in both conferences.
Now, with the way that the the Constitution works and everything like that, how where does the interplay between faith and politics come into being? You know, because how do the bishops work with legislators with but still have that, you know, we do live in the separation of church and state. So how does that come into play?
Sure. Sometimes people think that separation of church and state means that church should stay out and people of faith should completely stay out of politics. But that's just a tactic of squelching people who are people of faith, squelching their voice. Really, you know, the separation of church and state is established in order to provide for a free practice of religion. In recent years, there's kind of been an attempt to use the term freedom of worship, but worship really confines it. But it's actually freedom of religious practice, and so. That's what the separation of church and state really is established for, so that the individual is able to practice his or her religion as they feel called to and as they need to. So that's how that works out. But we also remember that each citizen has a voice in our country, whether they're a person of faith or not, and they're able to make that voice known through their constituents through their legislators. They're able to make their voice known. So the church, as a whole, and is in this case speaking about the Catholic Church, you know, we're able to speak about what is important to us, what issues that when we see they're important to us, whether we're speaking about something so sacred as the gift of life, whether we're speaking about something that's so necessary as education, how it is that we can best educate our young people, whether we're speaking about something which is very important to us here in the Southwest, immigration, because we are in two border states, and that's a really, really hot issue or hot topic right now. The church has a voice, and she's able to speak that voice because she is made up of individual citizens of the United States who also have a voice.
I think one thing that I've noticed too that's been a little concerning is when we are talking about these kind of hot button issues, like let's say immigration. Sometimes there's a tendency, I think, for people to sort of ignore the issue or ignore the human person at the other end and lash out in anger or fear. So when it comes to discussing these types of things or learning more about them, what kind of recommendations would you give to look at these things and to talk with other people productively?
Well, I think one of the words or the terms that's key for us that unfortunately we've seemed to lose, and not just this election, but that's been really eroding over the years, and that's just basic manners. You know, it's being kind to somebody, whether you disagree with them or not, whether they're on your side or not, and it could even be an issue that is so important, so vital, the issue of life. You know, when you enter into a good discussion, a good debate, you want to have manners too. It should never be he who yells the loudest wins, right? Because there's no good discourse when that takes place. So I think that's key. I think that's really important to first do that, and to have manners. And I think one of the virtues, one of the key virtues that we always want to make sure that we use is the virtue of charity, the virtue of love. And Thomas says, love is willing the good of the other. So if I'm entering in a discussion with you, and whether we agree on the topic or not, we could be a complete polar opposites. What I should want to do for you is I should be doing it out of love. I should speak and act out of love. And so if I believe that my side that I take, so for example, the gift, the life, we speak about life. And I'm trying to persuade you to see the value of life from its inception and natural death. If I'm yelling at you, if I'm saying harmful things to you, if I'm saying mean things to you, if I'm calling you names, if I'm attacking you personally, you know, the argumentum ad hominem, the attack on the individual person, there's a good chance that you're not going to listen to me or hear what I have to say. And there's a good chance that either, one, you're going to start yelling at me and calling me nasty names and attacking me personally, or there's a good chance that you're just going to just walk away. I don't want to enter into that discussion. And for some reason, it seems like that's really crept into our society nowadays. I don't know if some of this plays in with social media. It's very easy to attack an individual, and sitting behind a computer screen halfway across the country. It's really kind of a coward's way of entering into discussion. But if I truly want the good and desire the good of my brother or sister, then I should first be acting out of love, and then I want to be prudent. I want to say the right thing. I want to do the right thing. And I want to say it when it's appropriate, in the appropriate time to say that. So I want to make sure that I'm being prudent too. So I think we look at manners, we start with manners. Let's kind of get back to that, with basic manners. It's not just something we teach our children and then forget about it as they go on. Manners are something we should have our entire life. But really working on the virtues of charity, love, desiring the good of the other, and of prudence, you know, speaking and acting in a prudent manner.
Yeah, I read this interesting thing yesterday that back in FDR's days, the press kind of had this unspoken agreement to not photograph him in his wheelchair.
Incredible.
And, you know, because they wanted to address criticisms of policies or something like that, whereas it seems today, you know, nothing, everything is fair game. Somebody's kids are fair game, you know, the way that they look is something that they have no control over. And kind of going back to what you said about keeping in mind even someone on the ideological other side of the aisle. So, like, the life issue, sometimes we'll see women who seem to be very angry or very loud, or even men. We don't know, for instance, if maybe they had something that's in their past that's painful.
Well,
you know?
That's a great point, because every time I preach about the sanctity of life, one of the things I want to be mindful of is that with the number of abortions that have taken place in our country prior to, and even, you know, going back to Roe v. Wade in 1973, we have an incredible number of walking wounded. And so when somebody hears us speaking about the sanctity of life, it might be difficult for them necessarily here, because even if they're not sharing with you that they're post-abortive, they might feel that this is a personal assault or personal attack on them. And so, like I said a little earlier, whenever we enter into discussion, we always want to avoid argumentum ad hominem, the attack on the individual person. And if we're speaking about the sanctity of life and how wrong abortion is, although somebody might not share that with you, they themselves could be post-abortive. So I think that's something to always keep in the back of our minds. And that means that when we discuss something like this, that we have to be extra sensitive, extra careful. We never back away from the truth that all life is sacred, conception to natural death. But we always want to be mindful of that, have those things maybe in the back of our mind. Choose our words carefully, being prudent, but always making sure that they're words of love. When we speak the truth, we always want to speak it out of love.
And when it comes to something like stress, I mean, I think you mentioned this a little earlier, it's sort of whoever yells the loudest sort of gets noticed. So what we often hear is people having more inflammatory headlines or more worrisome headlines to grab as much attention as possible. So if people find themselves sort of, you know, being stressed by news they see on Facebook or in the headlines or something, do you have any advice for them on, you know, perspective, how to take a step back and sort of relax a little bit?
Well, stress can do a number of things to you, right? It can make you not think clearly. It can cause, you know, physically, mentally, it can cause all kinds of different problems. I think one of the things in terms of the relationship just to how society is going right now, when we think of stress, is to be able to maybe step back from things a little bit. But speaking from a perspective of faith, you know, studies have been done and proven that people who spend time in prayer each day are people who are less stressful. So that means that you quiet yourself, you place yourself in the presence of God, and you raise your heart and your mind to God. And so people who pray, studies have shown that they're less stressful. So when we're dealing with things that really, really hit home or can be a bit bothersome or really cause some fear in our own lives, what's the response? Do we sit with them? I think the answer to that is no. I think the response is that we bring them forth in prayer, whether that can be individually, or whether that can be communally, the prayer group and a Bible study, whether that can be Sunday at Mass. We bring all those things before the Lord. Don't hold on to them, because if we hold on to them, then we stuff them down, and then that can cause stress, and generally things come out sideways when we stuff things down.
Yeah. Are there any other points that are addressed in faithful citizenship, or I mean, even I think sort of going back to what you're talking about with attacking the person, you know, regardless of whether you like an elected official or not, doesn't matter if they're the president or a local official. I mean, it's like we're all members of this country together. So it's, you know, there's a vested interest in all in sort of working together. So are there any points that are addressed in faithful citizenship that sort of give advice for how to, you know, disagree with somebody or agree with them and try to move forward and work with them?
Yeah, there are a number of points in faithful citizenship from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And, you know, when we talk about civil discourse, you know, we always want to make sure that we're speaking in love. We go back to that central point. St. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the wedding, the famous wedding reading that we hear all the time. But that's not just simply for weddings, that's for every day of our lives. And so we want to make sure that we're speaking in love. If I'm willing to enter into a conversation or a discussion with you, and you're willing to do the same with me, then the groundwork, the foundation for that conversation should be love. If we do not, then we lose our right to speak. Paul even says that. What does he say? If I have not love, I'm a noisy gong, clanging cymbal, I'm just irritating. And we think about if somebody were to sit in front of us and bang a gong or clang a cymbal, we would just, you know, you'd hold your ears and eventually walk away from that. Well, that's what happens when somebody speaks to us, but they're not genuinely speaking to us out of love. They can be wrong in the position that they hold, but if they're not speaking to us out of love, and so we could automatically turn them off. So In the midst of all this, and I think if we turn on the news at night, you know, I like to watch the CBS 5 o'clock news with Scott Pelley. I just enjoy that broadcast. One of the reasons too is they always have a nice little story at the very end, so they don't just kind of leave you feeling bad about how everything is. They usually have a nice human story that shows there's some good people out there doing some really good things. But if we watch the news, no matter what station it is, generally the lead is a lot of people just kind of yelling at people angry, not listening to one another. And that's not very productive. That really just, that goes nowhere. That doesn't move forward. And so I would say that was, yeah, it goes back to love, speaking prudently, listening to one another, and being willing to enter into a conversation with one another.
And I've noticed, too, that a lot of times we tend to look at a person or a group of people as an institution, which is fine, but you forget the human elements that make it up. You know, people will look at someone like the president or the pope or even, you know, yourself and forget that, you know, you'll see them around or you'll hear their words, but this is still a human being at the end of it.
Sure.
Or an institution, people will talk about the Catholic Church, which is fine in one sense, but then, you know, they forget that it's made up of human beings.
Yeah, we like to label people right away, automatically, yeah. Which is a way of dismissing someone, too, and their opinion. He's conservative, she's liberal, he's a moderate, she's a little right of center. We like to automatically pigeonhole or peg people right away. And when we do that, too, what that says is I'm not willing to really listen to this person. And it doesn't give us an opportunity to genuinely love the person, either.
Yeah. Are there any other points that you want to address on that you've been thinking about?
Well, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about, and I think about this every election cycle when we have a major election, we do have a good process. I think we have the best process in the world, and people are allowed to have their voices heard, and they're allowed to have their voices heard in a constructive way by casting their votes. And when the dust is settled, we have a president who is elected, and we really, you know, whether we personally like the person or not, we really need to respect that office. It's a good office, and it helps to govern our country and govern our country well. And so, I think there still needs to be respect across the board for the office. And then I would say, one of the things I would say is to do what I always do, no matter who the president is, daily pray for the president. Pray for the president, pray for the vice president, pray for the people that he's entrusted certain facets of our government with, and pray that they can be wise men and women, always having with the best of interest the people who have placed them into office.
You know, you mentioned prayer, things like that. Are there any maybe saints or historical figures that you admire? Maybe they lived in kind of tumultuous times or times that were stressful, who are good role models?
Sure, Thomas More, St. Thomas More. That's my confirmation saint. And I love one of his greatest lines ever. You know, he died as a martyr. He died a martyr ultimately at the hands of King Henry VIII. But he was a brilliant, brilliant man and a great man of faith. And he died, and his final statement was, I die the good king's faithful servant, but God's first. And so ultimately, we have to answer to God for our own actions. And so I think that's one thing we always want to keep in front of us.
Yeah, and there's a great movie, A Man for All
Oh, A Man
Seasons.
for All Seasons, Paul Scofield. It's a great, it's a classic.
Yeah, if people want to learn more about him, you know, I think it's good. I think there's a play too if people want to read. Okay, so that's I think that covers for me everything I wanted to touch on. Any final thoughts?
No, I think we're close for the today. I think when the train goes by and sounds the horn, I think that means that's the end of our podcast.
Excellent. All right, well, Bishop Wall, thank you again for joining us for another episode of Crozier Cast from the Diocese of Gallup.
Thank you. God bless.